It's time to bring you inside the Toronto-Waterloo Innovation Corridor. Join host Todd Cooney and co-host Dean Mariani as they chat with CEOs, founders, and disruptors, some of the most influential people in this tech ecosystem. This is the Startups to Scale-Ups podcast.
Hey, and welcome back to another episode of Startups and Scale-Ups. We are incredibly excited to bring you one of the co-founders, Robert Call, of CloudDX. The team at CloudDX are providing sophisticated solutions for advanced healthcare providers. Their products have precision vital sign monitoring equipment and software and mobile apps that are economical and fully connected into the healthcare systems to deliver superior results. I'm going to read the value proposition because it is so simple and powerful. More data times better data equals better outcomes at lower costs. These gentlemen are true pioneers in their field, and I hope you enjoy the podcast. Okay, today we're here, Startups to Scale-Ups, with Robert Call from CloudDX. He's one of the four co-founders. Why don't you dive in and give us a little background about who you are and where you came from?
Sure. So I am the founder and CEO of CloudDX, Cloud Diagnostics for short. And I've been an entrepreneur now pretty much my whole career. So I used to live in Vancouver, and I started my first company there in film and television production. But then I had a chance to move to New York City, and for the last 12 years, I've been living in the US, bringing Canadian technologies down to the United States and marketing them in the United States market, which has been really, really interesting. So I was introduced to the technology that forms the basis of CloudDX back in 2009. And I had an opportunity to build a distribution for that technology in the US. And then I actually sold that company to the manufacturer of the technology. So it's an interesting business story. I founded a little company. About 9 months later, I sold it for seven figures. And then I actually became the CEO of the company that bought my company.
Love it.
And then in 2014, with my co-founders, I actually bought it back and created CloudDX. And since then, we've grown from the four people who we founded the company with to a team of over 30 here in Kitchener-Waterloo. And we have an office in Brooklyn, New York, and we have customers all over the world.
It's an incredible story. So talk a little bit about the piece in Brooklyn. So who's down there? Is it developers? Is it?
All of our technology is Canadian. So The core of the technology was developed in the Toronto area. All of our technology comes from Canada. What we have in New York is the marketing arm of the company for the US market. So we have operations, warehousing, marketing, customer service, social media, and then just sales and fulfillment based in the East Coast for our US customers.
So you've been able to secure top talent here locally in KW. Talk a little bit about your growth over the last couple of years in Kitchener-Waterloo.
Well, you know, when you start with four guys from very different backgrounds, West Coasters, a doctor, and then one of our co-founders is actually American as well. So we really started from scratch. We started with like zero here. We became clients at Communitech. Our very first location here in Kitchener-Waterloo was part of the Communitech hub. Mm-hmm. We had a little tiny office in the back alley there in Communitech. We just slowly, one employee at a time, began to build a team. And then later in 2015, we moved to this location, not in this particular office, but across the hall. And we've grown into this space in the last 2.5 years.
Are there any struggles like early on that you can talk about that you guys had to, you
struggles.
Know, get through?
Any struggles.
You know, anything in particular you can talk about, you know?
You know, I mean, let's face it. You're starting a technology startup in an extremely competitive space in a very competitive town. So you better have some pretty compelling technology and a compelling story in order to even get people to come and work for you. Then you've got to raise money. And raising funds for tech startups is never, ever, ever easy. We actually have done something a little unusual on the fundraising front. Unlike a lot of companies that go to venture capital and wind up raising money from Bay Street or raising money from venture capital firms, we are essentially financed by our customers. So the vast majority of investors at CloudDX are individual doctors, Canadian doctors who use our technology every day and are actually involved in developing the technology, giving us feedback on how it works. And within that group, with a couple of exceptions, we have a private family office in Vancouver. We've raised over 15 million Canadian dollars in the last 3 years.
It's an incredible story. And my favorite thing is, you know, people talk about the science fiction to medical reality. You know, that's the big thing. You've been called the true disruptor in the space. Talk about, you know, from kind of the Communitech days to where you are now, what makes you and Cloud DX a game changer?
We're most famous, I guess, for being the Bold Epic Innovator Award winner at the Qualcomm Tricorder XPRIZE competition. Mm-hmm. So as a small company, we entered this global worldwide competition that had a $10 million grand prize to develop a working Star Trek tricorder, which if anybody's ever watched the show, one of the doctors on there uses the tricorder to figure out whatever's wrong with you, just like magic. So it was a very compelling idea. Actually executing on an idea and making a real tricorder actually work was incredibly hard. I'm talking week after week, month after month of flat out working on weekends, coming up with crazy technologies, pulling a team together, building working prototypes. And out of 330 companies that originally competed in that competition, we are the only Bold Epic Innovator Award winner and the first X Prize winner for Canada. So our chops, our reputation for taking actual science fiction ideas and turning them into real medical products is kind of second to none. And we're now commercializing that product. It's actually going into trials at a major Canadian hospital for Health Canada licensing starting in the next couple of weeks.
Which is a phenomenal story. So I know you've got partners. You want to talk a little bit about some of the new exciting partners that are on the horizon? Or
sure. I mean, we are, again, unique in some ways in being able to bridge or bring together groups in the health ecosystem. So healthcare is a little different than retail, for example, or fintech or clean tech. Healthcare is such a collaborative effort. It involves groups that include patients, hospitals, doctors, nurses, administrators, funders. No matter where you are, what country you live in, somebody's paying for healthcare, usually not the person receiving the healthcare. And then at the same time, there's all these different partners in the middle. What we're most excited about is we're actually partners with the Canadian Medical Association. So all the doctors of Canada through their medical association have partnered and endorsed our digital healthcare platform as the platform that Canadian doctors should be working with. That means we've gathered together an incredible team, not just here at Cloud, but outside of the Cloud, to make sure that when we bring a product to market, it's going to meet the needs of all of those stakeholders. So it's not just for hospitals, but you know, patients have to suffer, or it's not just for doctors, but hospitals, you know, have to just get used to it. You have to bring everybody together, and it's very, very challenging.
Yeah, and you've done a phenomenal job of giving every citizen the opportunity to have kind of the sensors at the pulse of the fingertips. So why don't you talk about like the distribution, your client customer base, and how you're touching and who you want to touch in the future?
Well, when you come up with new medical devices, it's a long road, because unlike a company that makes a fitness tracker or something that you can just go to Best Buy and sell people, medical devices need to be accepted not only in a regulatory way, so they have to be licensed by Health Canada, which means clinical trials and a lot of evidence that is very expensive to gather. But even after that, that's just the beginning of the process. After that, doctors have to decide that they're going to actually use the system and pay attention to it and believe in it and endorse it and integrate it into their work on a daily basis. So there's these steps you go through to bring products to market, and there's a reason there aren't very many little health technology startups that actually make hardware. It's really, really, really hard. Mm-hmm. But we, through a variety of different, in some cases, lucky breaks, and in some cases, extraordinarily hard work, are in a position to do that. We do our clinical trials. We have those academic partners at UHN, McMaster University, University of New Brunswick. We're working with Stanford University. We're working with the University of California, San Diego. Incredible. We have grant funding and funding opportunities coming from all the Canadian funding bodies. So on the federal level, there's FedDev, there's SHRED, and NSERC. On the provincial level, there's also SHRED and the OCE Health Technology Fund. And even there's advanced vehicle funding and all kinds of sources of collaborative financing, some of which goes to us, some of which goes to academic partners to validate our technology. So, you know, when you all of this has to get done before you can sell a single product. Mm. It takes years and in some cases millions of dollars. We're at the cusp now of actually being able to deliver products, not only through the system, which means you get your, you would actually get our products from your doctor. The doctor would give you our products. You wouldn't have to pay for them. You just give, you take them, you go home and use them. The doctor's looking at that information. But we're also looking forward to bringing products directly to the consumer. So whether you go on Amazon.ca or you go on our website, very shortly you'll be able to purchase some of our products yourself, use them personally to improve your health, or give them to family members and loved ones as a really great gift.
And because it's a medical device, it's covered under OHIP.
In many cases, depending on if it's prescribed by a doctor.
Right.
But also, our technology is actually relatively inexpensive. You know, our devices that we sell in our technology kit, our connected health kit, are in many cases, although they're higher quality and are connected in the sense they have apps and artificial intelligence behind them, they're less expensive than the competing devices you get at the drugstore.
So the unit itself, like, can you dive into like, what exactly is it picking up? What are the sensors doing?
So let's start with this really important fact. We are actually a software company. Even though we make devices and integrate devices and work with devices all the time, the truth is we only do that because we need the data that those devices send to our software.
Okay.
So what we're all about at Cloud DX, cloud diagnostics, is analyzing raw signals from the environment and from the body and actually taking that information and using very modern machine learning and artificial intelligence techniques to determine what's going to happen next. We're always looking for patterns. We're looking for indications that someone's going to get better or they're going to get worse. We're looking for indications that someone is taking their medication or not taking their medication, or that someone is complying with their doctor's instructions or not complying. And whatever is happening with that person, then what we want to do is intervene and try to make their outcome better. So can we help them get a nurse to come over, or can we let them know that it's time to go make a doctor's appointment, or in some rare cases, call 911 because they need to go to the hospital like right now. Mm-hmm. That has happened. We've had that situation. Some of our customers feel that we are actually instrumental in making sure they had a good health outcome. So that's the key thing to remember. We're all about the software, both in the cloud and on devices, as far as mobile apps are concerned, for interacting with our system. The type of thing we gather primarily is vital signs. So that means blood pressure, heart rate, respiration rate, body temperature, blood oxygen. We're also looking at body movement, right? Data from whether someone's fallen over or not, or are they a little bit unsteady? Maybe they had a stroke or something. Is their movement impaired? And again, is all of that getting better or getting worse? So if they're on a care plan, they're under care. Is their oxygen getting better? Is their breathing getting better? Is their medication working? And then if we see a pattern that doesn't look like that's happening, then let's try to figure out what's going on. Why not? Mm-hmm. And then more importantly than all, I mean, that's all really good, but the real key is we want to automate this process. Because by using automation and using machine learning and artificial intelligence, we can actually make the job of the care team easier. Right now, still to this day in 2018, the vast majority of vital signs are gathered manually, just like they were in the 50s and the 60s. You know, they used a bulb and they pumped up the thing on your arm. And they used a stethoscope and they write it down on a piece of paper and someone later types it in. I mean, that hasn't changed since our grandparents' day. Right. But that's got to change. You know, it can't keep going that way, because every single day in Canada, you know, 6,000 people turn 65. In America, it's 60,000 people. That aging baby boomer generation is getting older and older and older, and we're not building 65,000 new nursing home beds every single day.
Right.
Someone has to take care of those folks, which one day, by the way, will be us. Right. Someone has to take care of us, and you know, the system is going to break down unless technology comes to the rescue. So our main focus here at Cloud DX is on this concept of outcomes. How do we make sure that you stay as healthy as possible as long as possible? How do we keep you out of the hospital? How do we keep you out of the nursing home? How do we give you the power to manage your own health from before you get older and less healthy to, you know, all the way through the end of your life? That's really what we do here.
I love it. And one of your co-founders is your brother. You guys are West Coast boys. So what drew you to Kitchener, and why are you here in the Innovation District thriving?
Well, as I mentioned, you know, the beginning of our company was first me coming up with the marketing arm in the US. Then I sold that to a Toronto-based company and went to work there. So that's kind of how I got into the Toronto GTA ecosystem. And then when we founded CloudDX, what we needed to do was we needed to actually find a center of talent. And we were really very fortunate. The first few employees we hired were from here. They were UW, University of Waterloo grads. And they had those connections in the community. And, you build a team sometimes by word of mouth. You don't have to put ads out.
Yeah.
You know, one guy says to another guy or woman, man or woman, you should see the crazy stuff I'm working on. These guys think they're going to build a tricorder. Oh, really? I'm looking for a job. Let's go. Let's see what happens. And it grows organically. But, we're fortunate that this is a real center of excellence for artificial intelligence and med tech. And we have access to now some of the best minds in the country.
And talk about the culture of CloudDX. Like you said, is it something that's organic or is it something that, you guys are trying to create here, doing certain things?
That's a really great question. I'm glad you brought that up. So, the title of your program is From Startups to Scale-Ups. And startup culture is organic. Startup culture is based on basically whatever emergency you're solving today. Whatever you need to do to get the next funding round or to get the product to the minimum viable demo version. Silicon Valley, that TV show, is kind of a documentary that way. It's really, it's all based on reality. But scaling a company is not like that. There comes a time when a company needs to graduate from being a scrappy little startup that just does whatever it has to do and building a foundation for growth where you are properly governed, you have compliance to all kinds of, as you get bigger, regulations, HR stuff. And not only that, you become someone who wants to compete even with large companies for talent. You want to compete with large companies for recognition. And so part of our strategy is partnering with other huge groups and huge companies. And part of our strategy is making sure that our name is always, front and center when it comes to digital healthcare. So we very recently were very excited to be able to attract and recruit a very, very accomplished scientist and administrator and CEO level person from the Haltech accelerator, Dr. Rena Carlini. So Dr. Carlini joined us earlier this year as our president. And she has the mission of helping to structure cloud for the next phase of growth, which is to take us from the 30 employee, size we are now into the 100 plus employee future.
Yeah, the growth is going to be one thing, which is going to be phenomenal. But, envision yourself 5 years from now, CloudDX, where do you see the company being a success?
We're in a very fast moving space.
Right.
The transition in healthcare from the traditional manual analog methods to digital healthcare is accelerating all over the world, driven by the extreme need to improve workflow and operations due to fast stresses of the aging population and so on. So companies like ours that have a genuinely unique solution that's pressure tested, that's cleared regulatory, that is in the market and actually gaining traction, we have a number of different possible opportunities, directions we could go. It's possible we could accumulate business and grow fast enough that it leads towards a public offering type growth and becoming a public company. Or it could be that we partner with a large entity that decides our technology is what they need to compete against their competitors, and we wind up becoming part of that company and being acquired or being merged with that company. And I think no matter what, our commitment is to maintain a technology center here in Kitchener-Waterloo. We want to continue growing here because, we take, not only do we take pride, but I think it's very important that our technology is Canadian grown and that we want to export that technology to the world, which we're doing. So, 5 years is a long time in the life of a startup.
It's a long time in any startup.
I would just like to hope that 5 years from now, the then versions of our products, Vitality and our connected health ecosystem, are the versions that people are turning to make sure that their health is where they want it to be, or to take care of their loved ones.
Let's talk about you as an entrepreneur starting off. You you've gone through, you know, the ups and downs of trials and tribulations. What would you tell your 20-year-old self? Because we're going to have a lot of, you know, young entrepreneurs that are starting up in the incubators. What was the one lesson, you know, that you learned at a later age that you wish you would have kind of learned at a younger one?
So what would I, you know, I mean, there's some cliche, there's just very general knowledge that, you know, you never can learn fast enough, which is everything takes twice as long, costs twice as much. You know, I was fortunate that I have a background in sales and marketing, and many technology companies and technology entrepreneurs come at it from the technology side. They come at it from engineering, computer science. They don't have a communications or a background in sales or a background in marketing, and they're missing that piece. And so they miss out on a lot of opportunities to grow their company. What would I tell my 20-year-old self? I would say, you know, buy Google when it IPOs. Because, you know.
I like it.
Part early, man.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, what would I say? What would I say to my 20-year-old self? I would say, you know, build those relationships with mentors and people who can connect you to the resources you need. Think about that at a younger age, because that is one of the things you grow into as you go through the school of hard knocks as an entrepreneur.
100%.
And you fail, or you come very close to failing, and it's like, phew. And then you realize the only thing that actually saved the day was the fact that you had a relationship you could reach out to, whether that's a financing relationship, whether it's a sale you could make, or something you'd do. Time and again, we've been fortunate that there's been this confluence, the stars have aligned, and you know, here we are, still growing. So
branch off that question, are there any books you can think of that like you read, you know, at any point that you think like, you know, whoever's, you know, someone starting a startup today, this could really help them, or a podcast or something, any kind of timbit you could give there?
You know, there's a whole bunch of classics that I think everybody who starts a company should start with. Books like Good to Great, right? Books on sales and marketing. Books by, you know, classic writers like Norman Vincent Peale and Andrew Carnegie, How to Win Friends and Influence People. Stuff that was literally written in the 20s and 30s.
Yeah.
Never gets old. It addresses basic human nature, basic human relationships. That's the education that should be taught in school, but isn't necessarily. But it's the education that you can get to very easily. I think that, you know, the concept of growing a company has been packaged and unpackaged to death. There's a million different books you should read. Read Steve Jobs' biography. Mm-hmm. Read the biographies of the greats.
Those learn are the kind from of them, books right? Learn from their mistakes.
Sure. Learn what made them special. Learn what they, you know, that they zigged when everybody else zagged. Mm-hmm. That when everybody else said it can't be done, they said, I don't necessarily believe that. I think it can be done. Or where they had a situation where they just didn't know any better. They received wisdom is can't be done, but they didn't actually know that, so they just went and did it. Mm. You know, I mean, we all worship Elon Musk now. He's having his own ups and downs.
But not a bad April Fool's joke. He went so
quirky sense of humor, yeah. That guy. But you can't argue with success.
Yeah.
Right.
No, I agree to that. So focus on you, the entrepreneur. What gets you excited every day when you wake up?
So what we exist for here is helping our customers. That's job one, right? And we're very fortunate. You can pick a lot of technology careers. You can work on machine learning in a lot of different places, artificial intelligence, optimizing advertising spend, optimizing which song you're going to choose, making Alexa work better. All that's fascinating. But at the end of the day, making Amazon a little more money doesn't necessarily move the needle. What we get to talk about here is that we saved someone's life yesterday. We changed someone's health outcomes to the point where they used to have to go to hospital every month after month, and they knew that sooner or later they were never going out of the hospital. But now they don't have to do that anymore. They stay at home, and they can stay at home as long as they can. So that ability to have that impact on real people, and knowing that one day that those people will be our parents or our grandparents or us, that's what gets us out of bed here at Cloud DX.
Incredible. The data, the technology, everything is for the betterment of humankind, right?
It is. Well, yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what we're here to do.
Love it.
Make life better.
Awesome.
It's incredible. So I really appreciate you spending the time with us. Most important question, where's your favorite spot to get a beer here in town?
Abe Erb, man. They can make it's like right there.
Yeah, that's a good point. Abe Erb. Yeah. So I would have to say
I love
our neighbor, Abe Erb.
Your neighbor. There you go. Love it. Well, I really appreciate it, Robert.
Pleasure.
Thanks for joining us. It's incredible wisdom.
Great to meet you guys.
Yes, absolutely.
Thanks again.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to the Startups to Scaleups podcast with CBRE's Office Corridor Group. If you know of an incredible founder or tech influencer that should be showcased on our podcast, you can reach us on Instagram at Office Corridor Group or email todd.cooney@cbre.com. And if you like what you hear, please subscribe for more episodes and leave a review.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.